Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to the Barry Egan Tapes on News Talk. I'm Barry Egan from the Sunday Independent, and I'm talking with Mark Cagney. Mark, thanks for coming in. Merry Christmas.
And the same to you, Barry.
You look very happy. Can we just... Hopefully we'll change that, or not. Just skip back to your childhood. You describe yourself as an unhappy child in Cork. How so?
Nothing to do with my family, or... Is unhappy the right word?
I've always
been a pain.
You were in pain?
No, I've always been a pain. I've always been... Why? Why do I have to do that? Why is that like that? Just, you know, not accepting. I don't think I've ever accepted the status quo since I was a child. Now, I haven't done much to change it, but I haven't accepted it. And I take great pleasure in pointing it out and going, that's not right. Why?
Did the teachers dislike you? Came in again?
No, not all of them. I had lovely teachers. I remember the first teacher I can remember is a man called Mr. Brown. He was lovely. I mean, he was very old school. He would have been close to retirement when I was in third class. So that's what, 8, 9, 10. So that's 50 odd years ago. There was another brother as well. I went to the Christian Brothers College in McCurtain Street.
Show me your hands. Welcome it. They got marks on them still. are those scars on your soul?
There were one or two. There was one man. I'm not sure whether he's still alive or not, so I suppose I better be careful. But there was one man who, I think if he was operating the school system now, would end up in court. He was a ritualistic sadist. And that's back in the days of the leather. But you knew you were in trouble. It wasn't just he would call you up to the top of the class and you'd get leathered. He had a brown, I don't know whether they were leather or not, but an old-fashioned case. A small version of that, like an overnight case. And he'd have his books and bits and pieces and all the rest of it. And he would take that up, he would put it on the desk, he would open it, and all done almost as if it was in slow motion. Then he would take out his leather, which was wrapped in, one of those kind of tartan rugs, small, like a mini version of that. And he would lovingly unfold it. And his leather was thicker and bigger than any other teacher's in the class. Now, they all had them. But his one looked like it was two sewn together. And he would take it out, and it was almost as if he was savouring the whole thing, and he was making you sweat on it. Then you'd get it, and he'd hold your hand out. You remember in school, I don't know if you ever got this, right, but in school, you'd hold your hand out. We're on radio, so you have to visualise this. You'd put your hand out, and then as he was about to do it, you'd pull your hand back, because it's an instinctive reaction.
But that would make it worse, though.
Every time you did that and he missed, you'd get an extra. But he used to, and here's the thing, right? He used to levitate. He didn't just... bring his arm down. He would put his whole body into it. So, but he was, no, by the way, he was the exception rather than the rule. The vast majority of my teachers were okay. I don't remember that many of them that fondly. There was a couple. There was a history teacher I remember very fondly, and a maths teacher who I remember quite fondly, despite the fact that I was absolutely useless at maths.
But you were better at other things.
Well, you know, what's funny, you don't realise these things at the time. It's only when I became a father myself I realised, you know, when my eldest was in school, he has problems with numbers, and we discovered that he was dyspraxic. And I have never been tested for it, and I don't want to be, but I would say he got that from me, and I would definitely consider myself innumerate. I would have real problems with numbers, adding, subtracting, multiplying, all that. Even with a calculator, I can't do it. So I was never going to do anything with numbers or business or anything like that. It's just whatever way I'm wired.
What way are you wired?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I think there's a few mismatched connections.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do a lot of pondering of life, love and the universe in my quieter moments. And I'm kind of happy enough with it, but I don't go too far. Because I think that might not be.
But how did you get into the music and radio? And
I was raised in a musical house. My father was a musician. My father's family had, there was music literally oozing out the pore of everybody. He was a performer. His sisters were very successful performers. My grandmother had been on the stage of the original Cork Opera House as in amateur dramatics. Every single solitary one of my father's brothers and sisters could all sing, could all have done it professionally.
Can you sing?
He did it professionally. No.
Yeah.
And it is the single biggest, well, it's not the single biggest regret of my life, but in terms of personal ambitions and things I'd like to do, if I could have chosen back then and if I could choose now, all I ever wanted to be was a musician.
So when you couldn't be a musician, you...
I got as close as I could. Well, I mean, you know what? The old joke from our day, Barry, is that if you couldn't be in the band, you carried the band's gear. So you were the roadie.
You're not older than me.
And then if you couldn't get close to the band, then you became a music journalist.
Yeah. And what was like the early days of 2FM? What was that like? Jerry Ryan and the whole gang. You were more rock stars than some of the rock stars.
Well, yeah. You would just say, in your youth and naivety, you look at what you think is the lifestyle, which of course is just...
But you had
marketing
a, you've admitted it, and it's, you had a brief flirtation with cocaine.
I had a quite long flirtation with recreational drugs. I mean, my first joint would have been at 15-ish. I can remember the record, by the way.
What was it?
It was Pink Floyd.
Of course it was.
Metal.
The whole album. Your father was wondering what the smell was.
Well, no, I wasn't. I'd left home at that stage.
Yeah.
But our generation did, yeah. And I smoked cigarettes. And anybody who smoked cigarettes back in those days, who was even remotely involved in music or entertainment,
were you taking coke and going on air?
Listen, coke didn't come until donkey's years later. For God's sake, 16 years of age in Cork, I wouldn't have known what cocaine was, let alone been able to get it or afford it.
Yeah.
But I mean, coke came at a later stage. Actually, coke came with success.
Yeah,
because